You know, let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together, this time that we get to come together and worship the one true living God. I thank you that people walk out with a greater awareness of who you are, Lord. But not only that, but even more so, a greater awareness of who they are in you, Father, so that they walk out empowered and encouraged with a sense of responsibility that I am a Christian, not a churchgoer. With a sense of responsibility that I don't just hear the word, but I do the word. I thank you, Father, for people realizing that they've been deceived and thinking that because they've heard, they've done. Your kingdom come, Father. And I thank you that it comes through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. High five three people. Two. I like how you guys had to count that. One. Somebody say amen. So a few people were asking me, like, are you ready? Are you ready? And I was like, nope, I'm not. But the Lord is ready. And that's really what matters at the end of the day. It's so freeing knowing that God is in control if I just yield to him. So many times we try to control situations. We try to make things happen on our own. And I waste more time trying to study than I do when I just yield and I worship and I pray and the message just comes. Because I'm not looking for a message from my own intellect. It's not by my power. It's not by my strength. But it's by his spirit. You guys don't need to know how smart I am. And I'm not that smart, to be honest. You guys don't need to know how I can craft a sermon because I took AP English. Like, that's not what you guys need. What you guys need is a word from God. Yeah. And the amazing thing is that all you got to do is just yield. Yeah. You just have to yield, given that you have the right foundation. What I have found I've been coming to this church since 2011. God is so amazing. For those of you guys know, this year has been pretty rough. The past couple of months have been pretty rough, but God keeps reminding me that he's still right there. Amen. See, God has been the constant in my life. Amen. Every single day. He's been the constant. And so many of us, I hope few of us, or even none of us, that might not be the case. Because circumstances come. Our circumstances shouldn't change our relationship with God. I'll put it this way. Your prayer life shouldn't change because you lost your job. Or your prayer life shouldn't change because you're having marriage problems. Your prayer life should already be up here, whether you're rejoicing with God or you're laughing at the devil. Your prayer life should not change. Your circumstance, God needs to be the constant. I just bit my tongue. I think the Lord's saying, slow down. But God keeps reminding me that he's the constant. For those of you guys who I just love sharing this because it's part of my relationship with God. But I was here on Friday because we were having youth band practice that night, but I got here early and they were practicing Burning Ones. And I went up to Angel. I was like, why are you guys doing this song? He's like, I don't know, Isaac told us to do it. And Isaac didn't know I was preaching, but this is a song. I literally got saved during this song. Like, this is, like, in the middle of this song, and just God keeps reminding me. Last time we did this song was for worship night, and I was up there on piano playing, and I'm just crying because God keeps reminding me that he is the constant in my life. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my strong tower. No matter what happens in my life, I can just yield and hide in him. And so many of us, we give so much power to our circumstances, so much power to our situations. Can we get to a place where no matter what happens, we can still stand on the rock? I think it's time, church, that we stop treating Christianity like a religion and treating Christianity like a person. Christianity is not a religion, guys. And church is not a place to get encouraged. It's a place to encounter God. You don't need like fuzzy feelings and motivation to get through the week. He needs to be your constant, not your Sunday, not your Wednesday. He needs to be your every single day. Amen? Yeah. Side note. Everyone say side note. I really want to thank everyone who, for your prayers and your thoughts and your messages for my mom. I truly appreciate it. I was beyond overwhelmed from the reaction of my church family to something that I was going through. So I just want to thank you guys. But I want to let you know that God was a constant in every single step. Yeah. And he still is. And here, and you know, coming on the other side of it, here's something that I've not concluded, but here's what I'm standing on. If Satan's going to hit me hard, I'm going to hit harder. Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm not fighting Satan here, because it's not by my might, and it's not by my strength, but it's by his spirit. Yeah. Satan's going to hit harder. And listen, I'm not perfect. I didn't do it perfectly every single day. There's moments where I was angry. There's moments where I was doubting, but God was still there, and he was still my constant. God was not offended with me. But he continually showed me his love and his care, and honestly, the best thing that God did was just show me that he was there. Amen. So many times, God, so many times, church, we come against God when God's trying to come alongside of us. Instead of saying, why is this happening? Why is this happening? God's saying, let's go through this together. Let's get through this together. And we miss what God's doing because we're trying to figure everything out. When there's a disconnect between what God says about our life and how our life actually is, that's not the time for us to rationalize and reason, oh, maybe God's doing this, or maybe he's doing that, or maybe, you know, I know God said this, but maybe this time he's going to change. God does not change. And if there's a disconnect between what God says and your life, you need to go to him, not figure it out by yourself. Because speaking from experience, figuring it out by myself puts me in a hole. And then I'm asking, oh God, how did I get here? It's like, you left. I'm trying to come alongside you, and you're trying to do things on your own. Stop trying to do things on your own and just yield. Just yield. Amen? Amen. Right before Pastor called me up, I was looking at the Luke scripture on the wall. So we're going to turn there, actually. Turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Are you guys okay? Are you okay? Yeah. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, everyone say does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Everyone say dig deep. We dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose and the street beat vehemently against that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Stop trying to build your life. Let God build it. It's good to have a 5-year plan. It's good to have a 3-year plan. It's so great to have a 10-year plan. But I need a today plan from God. I need a this week plan. God, where do we need to go? Where do we need to build? See, if the kingdom's going to... Can I tell you guys something? The kingdom of God is already in this church. You come to this church, does that mean you brought the kingdom here? The kingdom's here. The presence of God is here. It's been here for, you know what, 50, 60 years? The kingdom of God needs to go to your family. It needs to go to your workplace. It needs to go to your schools. That's where the kingdom of God needs to go. And having come to church does not equal the kingdom has come. Because we all have an individual responsibility for that kingdom to come. If you call yourself a Christian, if you're still figuring it out, that's great. Stay a while, and you'll meet your creator. It'll be awesome. But if you call yourself a Christian, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. That looks like something. Yeah. And it doesn't look like coming to church. But it looks like something something to the world that doesn't know who he is. Yeah. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. As I was standing back there, the Lord was speaking to me that so many of us, we focus too much on the end result rather than on the process. See, when God was taking the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt to freedom in the promised land, there was a process, there was a journey going there. And in that journey was meant to introduce the people who were in bondage to the God who saved them. It was meant, oh my gosh, thank you, man. The journey from Egypt to the promised land was meant to build a relationship with God. God told Moses, hey, bring them back to this mountain that you met me at, because I want to meet everyone. I want to be their God. I want them to be my people. And so many of us were like, we're just focused on God. Can you just fix this? Can you just fix this? And it's like, hey, I'm right here with you. Let's go through this together. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, when his three friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, right? Did I get that right? Cool. When they get thrown into the fiery furnace because they will not bow down, just like Pastor John was talking about, we will not bow down to the ideas and curriculums that are being imposed to us. They would not bow down to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were thrown in a fiery furnace. Now, before we talk about that, they had this mentality and attitude. God is going to save us. Even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down to the idol. They get thrown into the furnace. Fiery furnace. So hot that the people who threw them in burned and they died. That's how hot it was. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, he looks inside the furnace and he's like, first of all, they were thrown in bound and now they're not even bound anymore. Second of all, we threw in three people, but there's four in there. So many of us, we just pray for the problem to go away. God, I don't want to be around that person anymore. God, can you fire my boss? I don't want this person in my... I'm not talking about personal experience. I'm not. Hey, you check your heart. And I'll keep mine in check. So many times we pray for the problem to go away. See, God didn't put the fire out. He stood in the fire with them. God said, I'm greater than the issue. And if I'm greater than you, then we can overcome. I've already overcome. See, I don't know what fire you're standing in right now. But God is right there standing with you saying, we can overcome despite what everything looks like. Amen? So back to building the foundation on the rock. I felt him speaking to me that, you know, we focus so much on like the end result. Here's the thing, here's the way he put it. We want to see the results. And God says, before you see anything, you need to invest in a relationship. And the way it looks like is that Jesus says, you know, you had to dig deep. You had to dig deep to build the foundation. During that time, you see nothing. Right? From that time, if anything, you see less because you dug out a foundation, but we get in a hurry, we don't realize, like, just because we don't see something happening doesn't mean God's not moving. I'll say it again, just because we don't see something happening doesn't mean that God's not moving. Amen? Amen? Do not be like the foolish person where you take the easy way and your foundation is not on the Word of God. Let me tell you, if your foundation is not in Christ, it's founded in something. And if it's not founded on the solid rock, then it's founded on something that is fallible, something that is not stable, and you will be emotional. See, if God is the constant in your life, that is attached to so many things. The joy of the Lord is our, the Holy Spirit is our, right? There's just this constant flow. But if God isn't a constant in our lives, circumstances will pull you this way, will pull you that way, will pull you this way. And no longer will praise and thanksgiving be your constant, but complaining will be your constant. Or, you know, gossiping to your friends will be your constant. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Amen. I'll end with, well, we're not ending, but we'll end soon with this. We'll go to Luke chapter 19. We'll read verses 2 through 10. High five, five people. With a smile, with a smile. And everyone said amen. Everyone said God needs to be the constant. I was studying last night, and I'm like, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I like to have everything laid out and everything prepared before I do anything, or else I'm like, I get anxious. And God has been like working on me for like years on like this one time. Because here's the thing, like I can, you know, write a message, oh, I can talk about this, I can talk about that. But at the end of the day, if I don't feel the Lord prompting that, I'm just like anxious. I'm like, God, what is it? Like, what do I talk about? I don't know what it is. And so last night, I'm like in the same boat. And I'm like, not frustrated, but I'm like, God, because like the last time this happened was when I was going to preach to Souls of Youth. And like, I studied like, you know, like Sunday and then Monday and then Tuesday. I didn't really get what I was supposed to talk about until like 2 o'clock, like 3 hours before the service started. God was teaching me something to yield and to, just because I don't feel like I'm in control doesn't mean I can't relinquish that to him. Does that make sense? So last night I was, I'm like trying to like, you know, like what do I, like I have this idea and that idea. And I was just, like, you kind of just want to get out, right? I was like, well, I'm gonna go work out. I'm gonna go lift some weights. But I'm like thinking like, well, but I don't feel prepared. Like, I feel like I can't move on with my life until like I know exactly what's gonna happen like in this moment, right? And am I the only one that happens? Like, I cannot move on from this one thing because it's not figured out. There's no closure there. And I went to, God always speaks to me in the restroom, whether it's a showering or in other business. I really don't know why, but there's this constant speaking to me when I'm in the restroom. So I'm in the restroom, and then God tells me, because I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, well, like, God, like, you know, and I know all, like, the Christian things, you know, like, I got to be in his presence, I got to pray, and I got to worship, and God's like, you know, if you go out there to work out, you know I can go with you, right? Like, I'm not going to stay, like, in the room, not the shower. I just had this idea, like, I gotta stay close to God in worship and in prayer and in reading the Bible. I gotta stay close to him until I get something. But I kinda wanna do this and I kinda wanna do that. God's like, I can just go with you when you do that. Just put on some worship music. Cause I had a couple of other errands to run too, and God's like, I can go with you there too. You know how I've been saved for like 8 years. You know how dumb I felt? Like, that's like Christianity 101. God lives inside of you, which means he goes everywhere you go. And he's like, I can still speak to you in the car. I can speak to you when you're doing this and you're doing that. He's the constant. He's an everyday Jesus, not a Sunday Jesus, not a Wednesday Jesus. Do you guys realize that? Like, God wants to commune with you. He wants to be your daily bread every single day. Every single day. And so many of us, we'll see right in this passage, we take a back seat. We take a back seat and we just watch. So Luke chapter 19, verse 2. Now behold, there is a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And that's not a step. That's a step. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. I should go back to the fourth verse. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Do you have the picture of the sycamore? That's a sycamore. All right, now let's keep reading. Verse 5, I think we're in. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Everyone say amen. Amen. Next verse. But when they saw it, they all complained, talking about the Pharisees, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. That's amazing. Like, because in the chapter before, it talks about the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler is like, you know, what do I got to do to be saved? And God, and then Jesus is like, you sell everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me. Everyone say, follow me. And he walks away sad because he had all these possessions. Jesus had to tell him, hey, this is what he had to do. But right here with Zacchaeus, it's so awesome because he's just like in the presence of God and he's fellowshipping. He received them joyfully. He's at his house. They're hanging out. Maybe they worked out. I don't know. Anyways, I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to say it. Wow, I lost my train of thought with that one. So they had fellowship and they communed, and just by being with Jesus, he just felt that conviction of like, I got to make things right. I got to be right. I think we can infer from this that, you know, Zacchaeus probably felt some, not only conviction, but he probably felt some guilt. I love the story because I think it speaks to the people who want to take a back seat of what God is doing. Because over and over again in the Bible, we see people like relentlessly like coming to Jesus. They go through crowds. They yell at Jesus, which is okay sometimes when you're trying to get, you know, it's okay. It's okay to yell at Jesus. I've yelled at him. I'm sure some of you guys have too. But in this one, Zacchaeus just wants to see him. We don't see any indication that he's like actively like trying to like talk with him or have fellowship with him or even encounter him. He just wants to see him. Because in the beginning it says that he just wanted to see Jesus because he knew he was coming by, but Jesus found him. That's right. And Jesus went after him. One of the things that I feel the Lord saying is that some of us, and I'm not looking at anybody, I'm just letting you know what I feel the Lord saying is that some of us who, maybe it's not our actions are an outward expression of what's in our heart. And I think some of us are hiding in that sycamore tree, seeing what God does, but you feel shame or conviction to encounter him. And God's saying to you, come out from there. Come out from there. I must stay with you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about Tuesday. Today. Everyone say today. We won't finish the story, but something that I feel. Angel, can you come on the keyboard, actually? Something that I feel. Many times we have trouble having an intimate relationship or even just having a relationship with God because we've had broken relationships with our mom or broken relationships with our dad. And many times those hurts and pains have created these walls that keep us in that sycamore tree. We're here because we want to see Jesus. We want to see him move, but you're not ready to fight that battle. You're not ready to face some of the things that are inside. And listen to me, some of those things that happened to you are not your fault. But it doesn't mean that they didn't damage you. Can everyone bow your heads and close your eyes? I feel God saying, stop taking a back seat. And I know that you're afraid, and I know you're scared to face and to let go and to resolve some of the deep issues of your heart that happened to you at whatever age. Whether it's something that happened to you or it's something you did and you're still carrying that weight and that guilt, and you're like Zacchaeus, where you're here in your church because you want to see God, but you're not, but you still have that wall. And God is saying to you today, come down from there, come out from there, and let me speak to you. At the end of the story, Zacchaeus is restored and he's made righteous with just one encounter with God. And listen, guys, that's all you need this morning is just one encounter. I had one encounter with God, and the trajectory of my life did a complete 180. And it's been the best experience of my life. I wouldn't trade my life for anything. I have the best life ever because it's in him. So I'm going to ask Isaac, Daniel, to come up, and Miss Laura. And I just feel led right now. And if you guys, we'll figure it out.
I love the word that the Lord has brought us today through Joel. I wanted to share with you what the Lord began to minister to me in the morning. And it is just so good. Now, there's two ladies in this Philippian church, and I have no idea how to pronounce their names. So do you mind if I just give me two ladies' names, anybody? I don't want to pick Susan and Barbara. Okay, so I'm going to say Susan and Barbara instead of God knows what this is, because I have no idea, okay? So it'll just make more sense. I'm going to modern day it for us. So I love the point that Joel made as he said, God, we push God away, and he's trying to take us through things. He's trying to be with us. God is our strength, he said. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Jesus is our peace. Do we not need comfort, strength, and peace as we go through trials? What a beautiful point. If we push him out, and I have seen that. I've said to you, I don't understand why people run from God when they should be running to God. As if it's going to get any better when we run from him. And we run from him because we really assault his character of who he is. We feel like he has failed us, that he's let us down. And it's so important that we not do that and stay knowing who our God is, that he can take us through these places, this life, these storms that come. In the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Philippian church. First of all, let me just encourage you with some of his words. Listen to how beautiful this is. As he has birthed this church and these people, he loves them. And life is happening. And listen to his words to them. He says, therefore, my brethren and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my dear friends. I plead with, what's our ladies' names? I plead with Susan and I plead with Barbara to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. So there's these two women in the church who helped the Apostle Paul build that church. They were very instrumental in building God's kingdom. And for whatever reason, because the Bible doesn't tell us, they have a dispute between them. There is disunity taking place between them. And the Apostle Paul is pleading with them that they would let this go, and that the body of Christ would, that one of his fellow workers there would help these women to just let this go, that we can be unified again. when we don't let peace, joy, strength, comfort take us through things, there is a disunity that takes place. There is this breaking that takes place. And the Apostle Paul is, it's interesting because from there, then he goes in to talking about, and this is a portion of scripture where we're all real familiar with. He goes into there, and now these ladies won't let it go, and they got some riff going on between them, and there is this disunity in the church. It's not a little deal. Do you understand that? It's a big deal. He is pleading with them. Please, let this go. Get unified again. It's so important. We know about unity. Remember that? We've studied unity. We know what's going on with unity. Unity is so critical. And yet, when it comes to us having to deal with ourselves, we act as if it's not important because we exalt our feelings above the power of unity and the command of the Lord. Then he goes into this, rejoice. Now, is this ironic that they're together? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ. Now, he goes from this riff of disunity. Remember how Joel said, it's like, man, if I can't get it, like, I can't, like, move on. I can't, like, get to the next thing. It's like, I got to settle this, right? He goes right in, don't be anxious. You think that's coincidence that that's there? Now, we're really familiar with that portion of scripture. But pay attention to what was going on, why he's saying that, what's happening there. Life is happening. And rather than letting God be God in those circumstances, these women are digging their heels into their positions and creating this disunity that's happening. And then he goes, right, hey, don't be anxious. You know what I mean? Gentleness. You know what comes out of digging our heels in with our emotions like that? Anger. When we won't let things go, we get angry. We get bitter. Gentleness. You know why he's got to talk about gentleness? Because he's got flesh going on. But he's trying to pull him back into the spirit. It's so important that we hear this casting our care to the Lord so that he has that care, whatever that is. It could be something current today. It could be something, you know what, from long ago. It can be something just last week. But whatever that is, I for a fact, Pastor Drew and I just went through some stuff, you know what, where I told him, every day, it's like I'm getting this off of me. You know what I mean? And it's a fight. But I'm fighting the fight. I want it off of me. You know why I need to get it off of me? You know why I need to cast it? It's making me sad. It's making me mad. It's making me, and it's my responsibility to get it off of me and to remind myself who Christ is and who I am in him. Get it off of me. I want it off. Joel, thank you. You've helped us get it off. See, I hope you see this forever. This is like a, ugh, get it off of you. Your job, fight, get it off of you. Those thoughts, those memories, those things, get them off of you. Get it off. No, get it off. It'll take your joy. It'll take your peace. It'll take from us more than you can imagine because where unity isn't, whether that unity we're talking about in your home or in this church, or at your workplace, where there is strife, So is what? Every other evil thing. This is important. Do it. It's your responsibility. And it is part of the battle, the war that we wage. You know what? That we recognize what's going on and we just get it off of us. And I have fought for 2 weeks, you know, to get off me. I won't, the thoughts, the regrets, the stuff, all this stuff, you know. Well, you should have, well, if you would have, hey, off of me. I'm not carrying this. I won't carry it. I refuse to carry it. God is with me. And if he is with me, who can be against me? He's my front, he's my rear, he's my everything. Hey, I'm good. I don't need to get this. He's got this. And then I remind myself, hey, girlfriend, this is not your problem. It's not. It's him. And maybe you don't, but he does. And maybe you can't, but he can. And do you see how fast? I mean, you just start to walk in truth. But you've got to fight for that truth. And you got to walk in that truth. Or you'll never get to that truth. Amen? Joel, thank you so much. Thank you so much, God. Let's just receive what God has done here today. What a word from the Lord. What a word from the Lord. Father, thank you for what you've brought us today. Thank you for what you've reminded us of. Thank you for who you are to us. Thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us, but you are with us always. And for that, we are so grateful. And we thank you that we just renew our minds, that you're partnered with us, that we have a part. You've done your part, and now we must do our part so that we can get to that green pasture, so that we can get to that victory, so that we can get to that place that you have for us in doing all that you have for us to do. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus. And Father, thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.